Back here on Sports Talks on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dottillo along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from Crescent City Sports, Renee Nadeau. Renee, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. How you doing, bud?
Hey, Mike, Charlie, it's always great to be with you guys. I hope you're having a great Monday, man.
Yeah, good. I'm out of the rain, so I'm okay. it's one of them deals. Man, this weekend been sort of nutty with all that. And I think we got just today, and then once it passes, then we'll get a dry spell. We went from a drought to a deluge all at one shot. And I know on the North Shore and in Baton Rouge, man, they got a lot more than we did down here.
Yeah, so you ain't kidding. It'll come back. It'll be gone for a day or two. Mike will be back again, man.
Yeah. Renee, I talked about it in the first segment that we did about how the OTAs is for the rookies is basically a mental deal, because it is partially pajamas and slippers and seeing what you can do. And athletically, you signed these guys, you drafted them, and signed the guys you didn't draft. You sort of know what they can do and what they can't, but it's much more of a mental game. You and I have been doing this for a long time, and there are certain groups, because I've heard it from different coaches tell me, there are certain groups that you tell them something one time and they sort of able to retain it, and in other times that's not the case, and it's rep work. And so what you want to do is to get your rookies up to snuff, and when the veterans come in, they'll be able to blend in. But you really don't know that until, you know, a few more days down the road, once they working out. And it's really much more of a mental game than it is on the physical side.
It really is, Mike. And that's why, you know, sometimes a lot was made about Jordan Tyson missing, you know, not participating on Saturday. And I did a story with Jordan Tyson that we're running on CrescentCitySports.com. Hines Ward, who was his Arizona State wide receiver coach, and who I know both you guys know well, I mean, he raved about his toughness, Jordan Tyson's toughness and his resiliency. And he said that there were times, well, last year against Texas Tech, he popped a hamstring, and Hines Ward wanted to pull him in a game, and Tyson wouldn't come off the field, and he caught a touchdown. He led the team down the field to a 28-22 win against Texas Tech. And Hines Ward said, I have no question this kid is tough, and he's tough mentally, tough physically, and, you know, when the game's on the line, he'll be there. So kind of it supports what you said, that, you know, a lot what they went over the weekend, the media wasn't visible to, but they went over a lot of classroom stuff, and having spoken to the rookies in this past weekend, how much they had to digest in the class and things like that. So it was a full weekend, and much of the stuff that they digested, as you said, was off the field.
Yeah, I was trying to get her on this week, but Jen's sort of tied up in doing some other things. But that Texas Tech-Arizona State game, Jen was on the sidelines. And I remember her telling the story about the coaches were yowing, hey, get off the field. And he refused. And in different spots in that game, I can recall, okay, it's 3rd and 6. They throw a little 8-yard pass. He's bracketed. That's a guy under and over with him. He makes a catch. They get it a first down, and he come running off the field. And when they had a critical spot, right back on it. So I'll let Jen tell the whole story, because she was there at that game that ended up being a big win for Arizona State last year. But I think the health part, and you can understand people, he missed this the second day. But, I've talked to enough people in the field is that, hey, listen, get him a full day, get him some runs in, let him see how the leg feels, then get him back on the field, have him run for a couple days, and then give him a rest time and do it gradually, because he is still coming off that injury. No matter how you cut it, and you're going to get better with the hamstring injury. That is something that can certainly be managed. You got to find out the root cause of the issue with the hamstring, if it's, as he talked about, his hips or his lower back and that sort of thing. But, man, just keeping him healthy is certainly a big key for the Saints. Oscar Delp is a guy. The night he got selected, Renee, we had him on maybe 15 minutes after he got picked. And he talked about, I went to Georgia as a pass-catching tight end. And you know what I turned out to be? I turned out to be a blocking tight end that could catch the ball. I think he's the guy. And the study is in today, last year, 22% of the time, you saw two tight ends or more out on the field. That's almost a quarter of the plays you saw that two tight end offense. I think that's now widespread. You're going to see a lot of 12 personnel, two tight ends, 13 personnel with three tight ends only because the Rams had great success. You can't adjust to it in putting a smaller lineup, because if you do, then I'll mash you. I'll try to run the ball on you. But your thoughts on watching Oscar Delp for the first time?
Yeah, and I watched him, and I talked with him in the locker room, as I did with Jordan Tyson as well. But Oscar Delp, you know, he's got great size, 6'4", 246, ran a sub-4.5 40. And as you know, he played behind Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington, both those guys high draft picks. Brock Bowers, a number one pick. But Oscar Delp said he learned a lot from watching those guys. And, you know, he put up some pretty impressive numbers, 23 reps on a bench press, 38-inch vertical, and he's got a great catching radius. You know, he averaged over 12 yards a catch with 9 touchdowns, and he's got a toughness about him. He said he's really committed. He don't like to leave the field, and, you know, and coming from SEC, playing in Georgia has really, really prepared him for this step in the NFL, because you're playing against the best of the best week in and week out. And so he really, really talked about how much he learned with Kirby Smart, you know, playing in that type of offense. And based on what you said a second ago, how Sean Payton used to always stress, if I have to tell you something two or three times, then we really don't need you around here. And Oscar Delp was one of those guys. Christian Miller was another one. They talk about, you know, playing at a Georgia and a big program like that. They grasp things quickly because that's what's expected. And Oscar Delp looks like a guy that gets it pretty quickly. He digests the offense, and he feels like this is an offense that's going to fit his skill set.
You know, another guy, I guess we'll stick with the pass catchers here, Renee. Berrien Brown, the sixth-round pick out of LSU, was probably more productive as a receiver at Kentucky than he was at LSU this past season. But LSU's passing attack is, and you know, in general, wasn't very good this past year, as we all know. It's well-documented. When he was selected in the sixth round, the first thing that came to mind is, you know, his return skills. He returned 6 kickoffs for touchdowns in college throughout his 4 years at Kentucky and LSU. But Kellen was very adamant when he was asked about Berrien at the pressers over the weekend, is that he's not just going to be a return man, that they have a vision for him as a wide receiver as well. So just your thoughts, what you've seen early on from Berrien as well, and just his projection at the next level of not just being a kick returner, but also being a receiver.
That's a good point, Charlie. And the thing is that people just kind of slotted him as just a kick return only. But, you know, he did average over 29 yards per kick return. But the thing about Berrien Brown, having watched him and knowing his skill set, he's good at the 50-50 balls. He comes back to the ball, and he's not really big, 5'11", 195, but he climbs that ladder. And something else, he takes a lot of pride in, even though he's slight of build, he is a willing blocker. That's something that the offense at both LSU and Kentucky kind of required the wide receivers, no block, no rock kind of deal, you know. And so Berrien Brown knows coming into an offense, if he wants to see the field as a wide receiver, he's going to have to block. And he feels like that's something he can handle pretty comfortably.
Renee, one of the things with Berrien, having watched him at Kentucky and then again at LSU, and last year was no indication because, right. You know, once, you know, Garrett had the injury, then, you know, you couldn't throw it down for you. You couldn't get it to him like you really wanted. And I know even Coach Kelly, when he came on with us last year, talked about, you know, we want to stretch the field. We want to have a guy that can get deep with. He's got to get better getting into and out of his cuts and his breaks quicker. He is so fast that there is a little bit of a slowdown. So I'm sure Coach Keith will work with him on being a little quicker or a little smoother getting into and out of his cuts and his breaks, because I think that's the cut for Berrien. I know he can run fast, and he's pieced together. I mean, he's really well built for a guy that's, you know, under 6 foot tall, and he does fight for the ball in contested situations. I think it's more the route running aspect of him and how well he can adjust to the NFL. And I sort of feel the same way about Bryce Lance. And your buddy Roe Brown sent me this Friday. I had to go to graduation at UNO, and he says, Mike, the one thing I've learned about Bryce Lance, he looks like Gene Washington, the 49ers Gene Washington, not the Vikings one. So I said, good, you're talking about Stanford Gene, not Michigan State Gene. And he was like, you're one of the few guys, you would understand it, but he looks just like him. And here's another guy that's got tremendous foot speed. He averaged over 21 yards a catch. Now, he's a lengthy receiver that can really get downfield. I think with him, it's more of expansion of his route tree. Because, you know, at North Dakota State, okay, you're going to beat that guy in front of you. I'll get you in a few routes. We're not going to really get crazy with all kind of different patterns in the NFL. I think they'll want to expand that with Bryce Lance.
And yeah, I was standing next to Roe on the sidelines when he brought that up to me. He said, "Who does he look like?" And I said, "He said Gene Washington." I said, "The Stanford guy." But you know, the thing is about Bryce Lance. The thing that impressed me is he does get in and out of his breaks really quickly, kind of like Jordan Tyson. He really his speed out of his breaks. But Bryce Lance, as you both guys know, has the fourth highest vertical leap at the combine, a 41.5-inch vertical. And the thing is that he's unbelievable. He's a touchdown waiting to happen. 127 catches, 25 TDs. So every five grabs is a touchdown. But he only had two drops in 99 targets last year, and 62% of his catches were contested catches he was successful with. So Bryce Lance, he looks like he's very comfortable. He's a lot bigger than people think. He is all a 6'3", 204, 205. And the thing is, too, he brings that winning tradition from North Dakota State, two FCS national titles, and you can't discount that. I know it's FCS, but he won on a national level, and he brings that winning tradition with him in that Saints locker room, and you can't discount that.
One of the things, I'll go back to Jordan Tyson. I told this to Charlie early. It was last year. We were, you know, watching college players, and when I saw Jordan Tyson, he reminded me so much of a slightly bigger version of Amika Abuka.
Yep.
When he was at Ohio State. And at that time, man, Abuka was on a tear in the NFL. He got off to a super hot start. And he's bigger than you might think he is. Because I think this the bill sort of throws you off a little bit in that he is taller than you might think he is. And I think he is a slightly bigger version of Abuka in his ability to get downfield, use that height. And he is so smooth. Well, when he sets you up really, really well as a route runner. And I'm sure that's part of it. The thing with Bryce Lance is I would tell him, hey, Bryce, just run downfield on the chalk and Tyler, throw it as far as you can right down there and let him go get it because he's got that type of speed. And it'll be interesting to watch the continuity. And I think we'll see this a little bit in preseason because, you know, you don't want Tyler Shuck out there in preseason doing this. But in the training camp period, the connection between – how quickly it comes together rapport with Bryce Brown, with Lance, and also, too, with Jordan, and also Oscar Delp.
Well, and the thing is, when I was talking to Jordan Tyson after practice on Friday, the two things where his eyes lit up, guys, is when I brought up about he's stronger than he looks, and he wanted to make sure that he reminded me he had 26 reps on a bench press test in Indianapolis. So, yeah, he's strong. 26 reps is pretty stout. That's one behind the all-time record, for wide receivers at the Indianapolis Combine. And also the other thing that really grabbed his attention, his eyebrows really raised, is when I brought up his relationship with Sam Levitt at Arizona State. And, boy, he raved about Sam Levitt, how great he is, how tough he is, a great teammate. He said he's going to do some great things at LSU. He's got command on the offense. He's tougher on himself than he is on his teammates. And he said, man, he commands that huddle when he gets in a huddle. And when the game's on the line, Jordan said Sam Levitt's the best at what he does. So he raved about Sam Levitt and how hopefully he is going to be successful at LSU.
Yeah, the thing with Sam, just keep him healthy because a big part of Sam's game is his ability to run the ball. You know, because at times at Arizona State, his passing was erratic. But, man, if that open guy wasn't there on the first read, man, I'm taking off running downfield. And Sam is a lot faster guy than you might think because him and Jordan had quite the competition. He told Charlie and I that, you know, they would compete in the offseason on running and certain distances and that sort of thing. Were there a couple of free agents that you saw, Renee, that stood out to you? And, again, a lot of this is sort of throwing the ball around in the backyard more than anything. But were there a couple free agents that stood out to you?
Yeah, and you know them both really, really well. Two guys, and I talked to them both. Alan Heron is a guy from Maryland. He's only playing football for a 6 year. He's from Jamaica. He didn't start football until his senior year in high school, and the Saints gave him a $272,000 guaranteed contract and a $25,000 bonus. You know, he's a baseball player at Jamaica. He plays soccer, but he's really, really sharp. And the thing is that he only had one holding call in 24 starts at Maryland, and he really looked like he's the kind of guy that has a chance. You look at the history of offensive linemen that stuck as undrafted free agents for the Saints. And also Michael Heldman, a guy who I was really impressed with from Central Michigan.
Yeah.
29 reps on a bench press. And this is the thing that impressed me, and I was talking to him about this. In a relative athletic score, it combines the physical traits, performance metrics at the combine and your pro day. And he got a 9.88 RAS score, and it ranks 26th out of over 2,100 edge rushers since 1987. Now, why wasn't he drafted? Don't know. But I tell you what, he looks like the real deal. 42 starts. He had 10.5 sacks last year, 16 tackles for loss. And I'm going to tell you, he's a sharp, sharp guy. And Michael Heldman, an edge rusher, and Alan Heron, an offensive guard from Maryland, they look like they got really good opportunities because of just their skill set and the way they grasp things.
Yeah, the thing with Heron is going to be the technical side of things, his footwork and hand placement. But you understand, he's basically a neophyte as far as a football player is concerned. And you can get better with technique, with work. Heldman is a guy that I really like because he's very instinctful and he's got good bend coming off the edge. Now, level of competition, you can question that. And some guys, you know, some teams, they put a lot more stock in it than others. But you just look at his numbers last year. They were impressive. And it doesn't take him long to get from point A to point B. And bang, he's there affecting the throw or making a play in the backfield for a sack or a tackle for a loss. One of the things, too, is on special teams. And I think, Renee, when you look at the rookies, if you're not going to start – and, you know, Tyson's the guy that you're probably looking at. You know, he's got a spot for him. The rest of these young guys have got to make also a mark on special teams. And that's an area you got better in the offseason picking up Ryan Wright. We both knew him from his days at Tulane. He's a heavy-duty punter. You know, they list him at, what, 245? Come on, you know damn well he's north of that. And, man, he hits the ball. Sound like they got helium. The way that ball gets up in the air when he pops it, man, it's like a shotgun, and it's like helium up there. But I think for the young kids, there are a couple of players here that has a shot. Because you got to improve your special teams. I think that was an area. It certainly wasn't a strength for the Saints last year. And you just hope Charlie Smith can come around as the kicker. But I do think there are some spots here that can be taken because of the way you play on special teams.
Yeah, and, you know, you go back to Heldman, and the thing is that you look at the guys who were undrafted by the Saints, Malcolm Roche, Carl Grandison, Junior Gallette, Shy Tuttle, and even going back to Alex Price that you recall back in 73. So the Saints have really hit on some undrafted guys, and Heldman runs a 4.68 40, which is pretty impressive. And he, in his true sets against the pass, he won 40% of the time in a pass rush situation. So Michael Heldman's a guy I'm watching real closely. And, you know, they raved about the guy Rockheimer, and I'll talk about the legacy with his dad, who was big.
Heiner Brothers.
Yeah, and you know, remind me of a guy that you remember, Paul Orndorff, who was drafted back in 19, who was a wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Wonderful, 1973, the 12th round. So people forget that the Saints did draft a wrestler, a football player who turned out to be a pretty good wrestler, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff in 73, and people don't remember that, but I know you and I do.
Yeah, University of Tampa. He came out of, signed the contract, and he was like, what? I can make a lot more money wrestling than I can play in pro football. And man, listen, Mr. Wonderful made a lot of money in the wrestling business at that time. Made a lot more than what he would have played professional football. Renee, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And, I'm interested with the, you know, Jacksonville State. He got on there as a walk-on. And, you know, he's a big receiver, too. He's not a small guy, but the one thing I see with him, he knows how to use his size real well and aggressively attack the football. That was something, maybe some other areas just because of his route running and things like that. But you can see he's a really good athlete. And if he's even close to, you know, being that athlete like Dad, you know, Big Papa Pump, man, he was something at the one time. But, again, the boy, I think, has got an opportunity. He really does.
Well, he won't be afraid to block, I'll tell you that. 6'2", 225, he'll stick his nose in the fan. But it's always great to be with you guys. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, man. Renee.
Thank you, Renee. Appreciate it. Renee Nadeau from Crescent City Sports.